I'm here with Kate Remington from Music Respawn from WSHU in, where was it again?
Fairfield, Connecticut.
Fairfield, thank you. From Sacred Heart. Are you based in Sacred Heart University?
Yeah, we are.
Great. And can you tell us about your show?
Sure. I got the idea of starting it about a year and a half ago because I love games, and I especially love the music in games. And I've done tons and tons of interviews with classical performers and composers. And I thought, well, why can't I just do that with game composers? So the very first composer that I talked with was Mike Salvatore, and he just couldn't have been nicer. I just got an email out of the blue and said, hey, I'm starting this series. Could I talk to you about the music for Destiny? And he was just so nice. And he said, yeah, sure. So that got the ball rolling. And I've been able to talk with so many composers. I had this bucket list, and I've talked to almost all of them a couple of times. We talked with Jessica Curry and Jason Graves and Austin Wintory. Just this week, I talked with Gareth Coker about his newest project. And everybody has just been so fantastic to talk to. And they have such interesting stories about how they came to game composing and what they think about when they get a pitch from a studio and how that's going to impact the music that they write. So the series now is just great. It's kind of snowballing, and it's I'm able to produce one every week now, and I always mix in a lot of the music that we're talking about. So you hear this, you know, these great comments from the composers, and then we get to hear a lot of the music too.
Oh yeah, I actually cribbed part of that for my interview with Tommy Tallarico. I we were talking, and I was able to intersperse like some of the video games live music into the conversation. Thanks. By the way, so
well, it just makes sense because, you know, they have so many amazing things to say about the music, and then why not listen to it?
Seriously, so, yeah. So, tell me about your first interview. Like, how? So you just you emailed him and just said, "Hey, by the way, I'm doing this music show. Why don't you come on?" Just out of the blue, or did you have previous contact with him, or?
Well, no, I didn't. I mean, I told him how much I loved the music. Well, first of all, in Halo that he wrote with Marty, but then how awesome the music in Destiny was. And, you know, I gave him my credentials and stuff so that he knew I was legit. And he's just such a nice guy that he emailed me back and said, yeah, sure, of course, I'd be happy to. And we had one of those conversations. You know, sometimes you can talk to somebody and you feel like you've already known them for a really long time. Mm-hmm. That's what it was like to talk to Mike. He was just so easy to talk to and so friendly and approachable. And he had some really great behind the scenes stories about putting together the music for Destiny and then recording it. And so it was great. And what's nice about it now is that the game composer community is so tight that once kind of word got out, when I would reach out to another composer and run down the list of who else I've talked to, they'd be like, yeah, okay, sure.
So, oh, that's awesome. Really nice. That's great. You're like a superstar in the video game composer community.
Well, I don't know. What I do is give them a forum to talk about doing what they love.
Yeah.
With one of my recent conversations with Jason Graves, he said his sort of standard is, if he had all the money in the world, didn't need to earn a single penny more, would he still be doing what he does, which is writing this awesome music? And he said, absolutely. He just loves it. And so I think to give these composers a chance to talk about what they love is just really neat for them, because the music a lot of times in games gets overlooked. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just reading a review of Farpoint. I'm going to be talking with the composer for that game in a couple weeks, and they didn't even mention the music. So it's just weird to me, because the music
really?
Is, yeah, I know. It's just, it's such an integral part of the game.
Yeah.
Just leave it out, I think, is just really an oversight. So
one of the things that anytime someone asks me about this show, and like, what do you play? I'm like, I play video game music. And they're like, why? And I say, and I say it's because specifically with game music, this is music that you're going to be hearing like probably hundreds of times over 20, maybe 40 hours in the same level over and over and over again. And it has to be good. It has to be amazing, or else you'll just get frustrated with it and just not actually play the game anymore. And you can definitely hear that in especially older games. Like my first game that I really like fell in love with the music is Mega Man 2.
Oh yeah, that's an awesome game.
Yeah, and it's the Airman. The first level I played with it was the Airman level, and that looping music, I never got tired of it. It was there was always something more interesting and more intriguing about like how they used and what synths they used and everything like that. You get to talk to all the people that originate this music and that get to create like this music that like have you played Hollow Knight?
No, not yet.
Oh, beautiful music, amazing music, and it's very piano based, and there was one level I just couldn't get through, but you can just hear it over and over again, and you never get tired. I was wondering, really, I'm getting to, does that play into how the people you talk to, does that play into how they create their music? How does that go into their process?
Well, what they do, and it's really interesting because they put so much thought into making the music, even though they know that more often than not, it's just going to be in the background, but they all realize just what a powerful force it can be for helping a player get through a level. And to circle back to Mike Salvatore, when I was talking with him about his Rise of Iron score, I asked him about the music that he writes for the boss battles, because
I'm actually
a very good gamer and I have a lot of trouble with the boss. What's so fun is the way he kind of ramps up the music for boss battles. So it'll start with just a cue to let you know that the boss is in the general vicinity, and then he keeps adding layers and layers and layers, and by the time you're in the thick of it and your health is down to nothing and you've got to scrounge around for ammo and hope to God you don't die, that's when the chorus comes in to give like this extra jolt of encouragement.
That's amazing.
That's been one of the best parts of talking with all of these composers, is to kind of break it down and get them to talk about the granular level of the thought that goes into it, and how it all gets assembled. It's been absolutely fascinating.
That's really, I guess that's the point of really good game composing. It's seamless. It just melds into the game so well that you just, it's hard to separate the two in some ways. You know, you're playing this boss battle and you're like, okay, I got to kill this guy, and I'm really having trouble with it. And then the musical cue comes in. I'm like, okay, that's how I know when to do a thing. But you don't really think about the cue and how that, like what notes they're playing or what the tempo is and how, you know, and, so yeah, it's really cool how they like specifically think about like what parts of specific parts of the battle that they're composing for.
And when I was talking with Alexa Lavalschuk about his music for Dead Rising, they built a completely new engine from scratch to give the music kind of its own AI, so that it could be really nimble and change direction or just change depending on whether, as you're walking through an area, the zombies didn't notice you, or if they did notice you but they were like too far away to do anything, or if they were right on top of you and they were ready to attack. And he said this new engine, this new way of implementing the music, was just so specific for all those different things that it could change like within a half a beat from doing one thing to doing another thing.
It would just transition between one piece and the other without...
It was like variations of the music.
Oh, okay.
So they'd add layers and add, you know, like more tension music if there were more zombies coming in, that kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's such a cool thing. And I think that's a big part of the challenge that they have for writing music, because it has to be able to do that. So, you know, it's not like writing a piece for the concert hall at all.
I wonder if that's going to be implemented in like a wider variety of games, or if that would just be appropriate for like horror games or just for, you know, zombie games or things like that. Do you think that like all sorts of games would benefit from something like that, like a reactive kind of system? Or
yeah, I do, and there's lots of different ways to do it. When I was talking with Austin Wintory, we were talking about his score for Journey, which is just stunningly beautiful. I think it's one of the scores that people just love that he's done. And he mentioned that early on in the process, because you can be joined by another player, it doesn't always happen, but sometimes it does. Mm-hmm. And what his idea was to have the music when you're playing by yourself in the world just to have a kind of a thin texture. And then if you get joined by another player, then more instruments would come in and the music would have a much fuller sound. And I thought that was a great idea. And obviously he did too. But the studio was like, wait, no, that would be really expensive. We can't do that. So, you know, it has to be like a perfect storm of a studio that really wants to take a chance on something and a composer that's willing to, like, really push the envelope.
Yeah.
And, I'm sure it'll happen because this is such a great time to be a composer in games, because I think a lot of studios are getting away from the idea that everything has to be this big, lush orchestral score. There can be lots of different ways to implement the music.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, like I mentioned, Hollow Knight or Owlboy. Those are my two favorite games of the past like 6 months at least. And they have very very simple, they sound simple scores that can change depending on time of day or you know, obviously what level you're in.
Well, yeah, and I think what's also cool about what the composers do is they write music that kind of suits the scale of the game, too. You know, I was talking with Neil Acree a couple of weeks ago, and he's written music for World of Warcraft, especially the cinematics, and he's written the music for Overwatch, which are these huge, epic, heroic games. But his new project is a game called Rend, that's also going to be kind of a can't think of the word. It's like WoW.
Massive MMO. Yeah, we're both reaching.
It's an MMO too, but it has a completely different character, and it's based on kind of Viking legends of the afterlife. So the music that he wrote for that has a way more scaled down quality. It's a very thin ensemble, and he pulled in some really interesting Scandinavian instruments for that. So if you know, they keep in mind what the scale of the game is going to be, which is really cool.
I want to ask you so like I said, I when I really just fell for game music was with Mega Man 2. Was there a specific time that you could remember where that kind of like clicked in your head that game music can be just more than just a normal part of the game?
Yeah. it was actually
Pedro. It was Pong, wasn't it?
No, well, yeah, I remember when Pong was new, but it wasn't. no, it was actually Pitroids, which was this weird little puzzle game that LucasArts released as kind of a, you know, like a little satellite game, a micro game, which was part of their package when Star Wars Episode One came out. They had all of these things that kind of made the world bigger. There was pod racing and a couple of others. But Pitroids was this really interesting little puzzle game where you had to guide the Pitroids into these little goals. And if you didn't do it right, they'd like crash into each other and stuff. And the soundtrack was this kind of jazzy, sort of kind of mid-20th century sounding music. And I would just let the level go and watch the Pitroids crash into each other just so I could listen to the music. And it was just so different, different from anything else I'd heard.
Actually, I'm sure a lot of us have that. I had a copy of Wind Waker, and I would turn it on in my apartment, and I would just leave it on the start screen, and my friends would walk in and be like, "What are you playing this game?" I'm like, "No." Why are you? Because it sounds cool. Okay.
Yeah. I played it so. And then I'd be like visiting somebody, some friends, and their little kid would be playing Wind Waker, and my ears would like prick up as soon as it started from the other room.
I'm sure.
Exactly where the kid was in Wind Waker by what the melody was.
I'm not going to say anything about that. Yeah. So Music Respawn, the show, how did that start at WSHU?
Well, I'm so grateful to our program director, who was totally behind it as soon as I pitched the idea of doing this show about video game music. You know, one of the things about public radio and classical music listeners in general is they're not really aware of stuff like this. And so this was a way we thought of really like reaching out to draw in new listeners, because the gaming community is huge. And we were able to do it with, you know, really good production values and really thoughtful interviews and stuff. So they were like totally behind it. And it started just as a page on our website with a link to the audio. And when I put the pages together, I include, you know, screenshots and maybe the trailer and other interesting stuff that didn't make it into the interview. And then they decided that what we really needed to do was to make this into a podcast. And so the audio is still all there. And what's cool about it being a podcast is I think it's a lot more portable and people can subscribe to it. It's in Apple Podcasts now and Google Play. And so there's a lot of different ways that people can listen to it, which is neat. But I'm just really grateful that the management of WSHU was willing to try something new, because we don't run anything else like this on our broadcast schedule. So I think that's really cool.
I've not really heard anything like this on any broadcast schedule. Like this is pretty, especially with someone that's focused on with a background in classical music, talking to composers in that vein. I mean, like when I talk to like an artist, I can't really speak with the experience that you've had, you know, being trained like as a, you were trained a classical pianist?
Yeah, I was a piano major. The reason why I got into music school in the first place was because I wanted to be a conductor. And about midway through my second semester, I realized that it's really hard. But it didn't help that I was working with the professor, the woman teaching us, was trying to make it as hard as possible, because I suppose she was trying to toughen us up, because, you know, orchestras wouldn't really give you a break when you get on the podium. So she wanted to show us how hard it is. But I was just like, you know what? It's too hard. So I decided to go into radio instead, which has just been an absolute, oh, it's been so much fun. I think when I talk with composers, even though I've got this classical background, I don't want to get, you know, too into the weeds and stuff. So, you know, as I'm listening, maybe I listen to it in a slightly different way than someone who doesn't have a music background. But I think what's really important is to talk to the composers about what they love about the music that they've written.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. This was really interesting. I know that the part of the way that I interview people is after listening to the way that you interview people. So everybody should listen to Music Respond from WSHU. And you said you're on iTunes and Google Play?
Yep. It's in there as Music Respond. And if you go to WSHU.org, there's a whole Music Respond page right on our homepage. So you can check out, there's more information than I can put in the little detail for the podcast. So there's, like I said, screenshots and usually the trailer videos and that kind of thing. So it's neat to put it together. And I feel so lucky to be able to have talked to so many just amazing composers.
Well, I feel really lucky that you were able to be on Press Start to Continue. Thanks a lot.
Oh, hey, my pleasure. It was really fun to talk with you.